You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. All right, welcome to episode 63 of the Improv Save My Life podcast. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. This podcast is brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. Two guests today, both from the IB community. We have Sumit Sarin. What's going on, Sumit?
How's it going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Sumit is a member of Improv Boston Harold team, Strangelove.
Yeah.
Also a member of Sumit and Luke. It auto-corrected to Sumer and Luke, but that's not right.
It's pretty close. I didn't call the origin stuff.
And that's with Luke.
Bruno.
Cool. And you are a member of Lois and Lois, which is the first time I saw you do improv at a cage match.
Yeah.
I think you had a different partner that week.
That was Marissa.
Yeah. She was on the NXT cast at IA. She's really talented.
Yeah, she's great.
But your normal partner in that is?
Is Katie Pentanimos.
Cool. Other guest this week is Caitlin Buckley. How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. You are a member of Aeroporto?
Yes, I am.
With Sam?
Yeah, Sam, I, Connor Allen, Luke Bruno, Amy Click, and Sunny.
I don't think I didn't mention that in yours.
Yeah,
it all got covered.
Yeah, so much going on.
You also do stand up. I've seen you do stand up before, and I thought you were. I've seen it a couple times. I usually go to Sam's show he has at the comic book store.
Oh yeah.
Which I.
Yeah.
It's a cool show.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're really funny. You're also a writer on Old School Game Show. Is that right?
Yes.
And so. Sometimes performer.
Yeah.
Can you just describe what that is real quick?
Sure. Old School Game Show is kind of a throwback to like 70s game show and trivia, and it's interactive. So if you love pop culture trivia from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you sign up and you play games. It's so much fun. There's really nothing like it. There's live music. There's dancing. Like, we have actual dancers and vocal leotards. We have comedy sketches. We have video. It's like firing
in all
cylinders, and it's so wacky and fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's always the last Saturday of the month at Dana Square Theater.
That's a really cool idea. It's crazy. It's like shows like that. I don't know how I would ever find them, you know, on my own, but it's definitely something I would dig. We just start off and kind of get a little of both of your backstories. We'll start with you, Sumit. Like, where you grew up, what led you into the improv?
Yeah, I grew up in Southwest Virginia, basically in the mountains, in the New River Valley.
Cool.
In a little town called Blacksburg, Virginia, which is home of the Virginia Tech Hokies. Go Hokies.
Hokies, like the sub?
No, it's a made-up word, actually. They made it up in the early 1900s. And now they took it on as their moniker. It doesn't actually mean anything. But their mascot's a fighting gobbler, which is a turkey.
All right. An angry turkey.
Yeah. So spent most of my life there. And then have been just sort of up and down the East Coast. Spent some time in Maryland and upstate New York City. And I started improv in New York City. I just took a couple of classes at UCB. Really liked it. Moved here and then just kind of kept it going.
Cool.
I did some theater back in the day also.
Straight up theater?
Yeah.
That's one thing I've never done. Were you in any like musicals or anything?
No, definitely not musicals. I was in the university performance of A Winter's Tale. I was the third gentleman.
The third? Nice.
It was an epic and transcendent role.
How many gentlemen were there?
There was one.
I was saying there was like 100, you're the third gentleman. You're pretty high up on the list, but there's three.
There was supposed to be like a gaggle of gentlemen, but they cut out all the rest and they just kept the third one because they were...
You just killed it.
Yeah.
We're going to cut the gentleman except for you.
Yeah.
So you made your way up here to Boston?
Yeah, that's right.
But you were moving around the East Coast prior to that. Were you doing improv?
No, not really. I did just a little bit of theater in college, and then kind of put that aside for a little while. And I wanted to get back into that, but theater classes in New York are very expensive.
Yeah.
And relatively improv classes are much cheaper, so I just did that instead.
Cool. Were you always a comedy fan?
Somewhat. I obviously like to laugh just like anybody
else.
But, yeah. I hate fun.
So you kind of ended up in improv just out of coincidence.
Yeah, mostly out of coincidence. I mean, I saw a few Harold Knight shows at the UCB and was, like, blown away by that.
Yeah.
And so then it became something I just wanted to try. And then I got hooked off the classes.
So you start taking classes at IB.
Yeah.
Went through the whole training center.
Yeah, most of it.
At what point did you start performing?
I started performing January of 2013 or 14.
Let's see. No, Roberto, it's 2013.
So that January. So January of 2013. So I've been doing it for 3 years. I thought it was two. Oh, man. So old.
Well, January 2013 would be 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no. When did we join Aeroporto? 2012.
Was it 2012?
I mean, 2014.
This show's got off the rails.
Already.
What's my name? I'd say around.
If you started it
3 years ago.
let's say, for instance, you started in January of 2013, which is is one of the answers.
Yeah.
That's like the same time I started.
Right.
I think I started taking classes in January of 2013, and then started performing in March.
I started in Cage Match, actually. That was my first show.
Your first show?
Yeah.
Yes. We're doing Cage Match next Friday.
All right.
Yeah. Nice. Did you win the first time you did it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
We had a nice little run.
Wow.
Yeah. We made it to the playoffs, and we won the Cage Match Championships, actually, with a little team called Medici.
That's awesome. That's got to be a good feeling for, like, your first team that you're on.
Absolutely.
First bunch of performances.
It was epic. I actually wasn't there for the finals.
Did it go to your head?
Yeah.
Just get really cocky.
Yeah. But improv trash talk.
And now you're part of Aeroporto and a couple of two people groups.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself drawn to two people? Duo improv?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like doing both. I like doing the sort of faster stuff that Arrow does. But then once in a while, it's nice to kind of slow everything down, try to listen really carefully.
Yeah, I agree. I like both.
Yeah,
but I've done a bunch of two people stuff just out of necessity. Like, only two people have shown up a lot of times. And it is fun. It does force you to listen because there's nothing that can really distract you. Sometimes if I'm on, like, the back line or the sideline or whatever, I just start drifting off.
Yeah.
Or thinking of, like, that was funny. Let me see how I can build on that, but not actually paying attention to every word.
Right.
But when you're in the scene, then you're the only two people there.
Yeah, yeah. The tough part about doing duos is that it also lets you don't have to play a game right away, which can be a bad thing because you feel like you can explore, you know, something that's kind of boring.
Yeah, I find that too.
Yeah. So it can drag.
I don't know. Like, I wonder if I was in the audience how I would feel. Like, I did something at Awkward Compliment last week. Me and Somalia, who's on one of my teams, did a two-person thing. It's just a structure I thought of where you put two chairs back-to-back, and you're, like, tied up with your hands behind. You're not actually tied up, but you're improvising like you are. Kind of like Indiana Jones in the third one with his father. And you just start it by saying, like, this is another fine mess you've got us into. Just you get a suggestion. and then see where it goes. And a lot of it's just kind of backstory filling in and just random. I don't know why. I still have my hands behind my back. and a lot of filler, which I try to get in a couple jokes when I can, but it's definitely different than montage where you're kind of looking for a game or jokes like that's pretty much as quickly as you can most of the time. But I do like exploring characters that way. Sometimes it's almost like too realistic.
I like it when it gets as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
You can find just sort of a natural game in the way that your two personalities are meshing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of store that away and bring it back. You have time to keep bringing it back over 15 or 20 minutes. You don't have to hammer it home right away.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget what it was, and then you're stuck.
I've seen a lot of good two people teams come out of IB.
Yeah.
Mighty Zedlin is just
great.
They're
so great.
I think they're just one of my favorite improv teams that I've seen in person. Shame. Mike had to move to New York. I actually held a 2-on-2 tournament in around Labor Day, and they ended up winning it.
Anytime I've seen those guys, I've been impressed.
Yeah.
They're so good.
There's moments I remember that I just laugh so hard. And a lot of times in improv, I feel like I don't remember when I laugh or if I did.
They do a great job of... they'll add a third character sometimes, but then they'll switch in between all three characters.
Right.
And that's just fun when you see like them swap characters sometimes.
Sure.
And you can tell that they're just really listening to each other.
Yeah.
And they're really in tune with the moves they're making. And they have like a great eye for detail.
Mm-hmm. They do. I've been seriously impressed every time I've seen them.
Yeah.
But enough about them. They're not here. So, like, where you are now, 2 years or 3 years in, depending on who you believe.
I'm still writing the biography.
How do you feel about where you are in your improv career?
I would say so-so, all in all. Sometimes it really works. And it's satisfying, and I feel like I know what I'm doing. And then sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing, and I feel like it's time to quit. It swings quite a bit.
I think I think everybody goes through that. You go through that as well.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I almost quit before I even started. Really? No, I almost quit right before I auditioned for Aeroporto, and then I decided to go to the audition anyway, and then I ended up getting on the team, and that was one of the best moments ever.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm a pretty up and down person anyway, so like sometimes I'm like, "Fuck this," I'm done. I'll just finish my commitments and I'm out of here. And then I'm like, "Well," like 2 days later, I'm like, "That was a bit of an over." I don't say this to anybody else, so it's all my head. But
yeah, basically, you feel as good as your last show was.
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember I just made it to house teams at Improv Asylum. So I had my first show. Yeah, it was great. I've been trying it forever.
Yeah. Those teams are so good.
So I had my first show, and it went all right. Like, there was not – I didn't do anything noteworthy. It was just – I was a person on the team. And I introduced it, and people were happy to see me make it. But as far as the show went itself, it was like blah. At least my part of it. But my parents were there, so it was a cool experience, but I had this, like, feeling, like, did I, like, fool them into letting me on? Like, do I actually belong on this team? But then last week was my second show, and it went good. I was happy with it, and I'm like, all right, if I just do that. Like, all my nerves were gone. I was really nervous the first week, and just focus on... I think it was when it clicked, I'm like, I should be on this team. Let me act as if I should be on this team and not hang out in the background and just do a lot of like, yeah, that's right, you know, agreement and scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, confidence goes a long way.
It does. It's tough, though. Especially, like, I'm not a person that naturally has it all the time, so it takes a little bit of work sometimes.
Yeah.
I think we both really understand that.
Yeah.
At least I do, yeah. Because we had, sometimes I felt it really like I didn't belong or I wasn't there yet. But then I had to put that aside because I was just, I didn't want to make myself miserable from something that has brought me so much joy.
Right. Yeah, that's just what I have to keep telling myself, too. It's like, you're doing this because you like it,
yeah.
You know? And, yeah, I have a regular full-time job that stresses me out enough, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't need my hobby that I enjoy a lot to cause it, but it's just where my mind goes sometimes.
But improv-wise, I always feel like I'm learning stuff. Like, I don't feel like I've mastered anything. And there's so much to keep getting better at, you know, building characters, getting better at listening.
I feel
object
like,
work, like building a whole show. All that
definitely,
stuff.
Yeah. That's something. Object work is something I'm terrible at, or
yeah,
just ignore altogether.
Yeah, I look like a person that's like never done anything before. That's like not a person when I try to do object work. I get like weird, like T-Rex hands. It's just not natural.
Yeah,
at all. Yeah, I do. It's really weird. It's just not confident.
House Steve's practice yesterday, and one of the exercises was like, step forward, do some object work. And I was like, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And I was going to do the thing where you kind of bang the pack. And I actually smoke cigarettes, so this should be pretty simple for me. But then I was like, halfway through it, I'm like, which hand should I hold the cigarette with? And then I wanted to light it, and I was like, and then they just started laughing at me. And then it just turned into like this mess of a man that can't get his stuff together, which actually worked, but I'm like, what am I doing? I actually smoke cigarettes. Why can't I figure this little bit of object work out? So, Caitlin, do you want to take us through kind of where you're from?
Sure.
And, you know, what led you into improv?
Sure. I grew up in Salem, New Hampshire, known for a racetrack and a mall. In a Chinese restaurant, according to my dad.
There's a NASCAR track in New Hampshire, right?
No, it was like a horse racing track. Yeah, it was the whole thing. And I always wanted to do comedy, but I never talked about it because I had no confidence at all. And I would consume a lot of comedy, and I would make people laugh, I think. But I just never tried or thought I could ever do it in front of people. So, yeah, I went to college in Boston, and I've been in Boston and Somerville ever since. I never did any theater. I never got up in front of people. And then I started working in publishing, and I was really depressed. And I had been reading a lot about improv, and all the people that I really admired in the entertainment world started there.
Right.
So I figured I would try it. And so I started the training program at IB. And I really found what I wanted to do. And I'm really happy that I took that chance. Because I used to be so snarky. Like, I thought improv was, you put on like a basic colored like crew neck shirt. And then you, like, made, like, weird little, like, party quirks. And, you know, like, that's what thought it was. And that's the whole thing. It can be that. But I thought that was what it was. And because I was just ignorant.
I thought it was, like, you go to the theater and they're like, hey, you, get up on stage. And they're, like, moving around. And I'm like, I don't want any part of that. Leave me alone. But I'm glad I actually discovered what it was. But it just happenstance the way it happened to me, and you know, I think I say this a lot on this, but if people actually were exposed to an improv show, especially young, like people in their 20s, early 30s, they would enjoy it. They'd be like, "Hey, we should check that out once a month or something like that." It's relatively cheap, it's funny, and it's interactive and it's topical a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But it's just a hard sell to people. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Unless you're already in the community, like.
Yeah, because it's hard to be good at it.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I think watching us get better at it is hard. yeah, or like a random person. Like if you do improv, it's fun because you see people kind of grow
right.
and get better at things. But for somebody just coming in off the street, sometimes it can be hard.
Yeah, I think I blew all my people that would come to shows like early on in my.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
And they're like, it was nice to see Tom on stage, but that was not for me. <You know?
laughs> Yeah.
Whereas I think if they came now, they'd be like, hey, he's not bad at this.
Right.
But over time, you'll get better, and then, you know, they'll just come.
Like the Field of Dreams.
Yeah, right.
It's like thinking that you could go and watch anybody practice something, and then that's. But since this is entertainment, people automatically expect that they're going to be entertained, but if you just still have your training wheels on, it's really 50-50.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, that said, everybody should go watch as many as they
can. I think the show I did the most when I started was at the YMCA in Cambridge, which was 90% other groups, so
yeah.
that made it easier because it was basically like practice in front of other teams.
Yeah.
Which is, it's cool.
Yeah, it was great. It was like an open mic, but for improv teams.
Yeah.
Which you still need. Like,
yeah,
you need
absolutely.
That.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to get going at the Middle East. Because I actually came up with it. The Middle East is known for its stand-up open mic.
Yeah.
And, like, they're open to comedy. And it's
mm-hmm.
right near IB. Like, why not try this, you know, and just make it like an open mic? Well, not so much like you can't just show up, but I try to book like 12 teams like
mm-hmm.
and all just independent teams and I want to swap it out, so if you're on this show and a bunch of teams that didn't make it want to get on the next one, I'll
mm-hmm.
put those ones on first, so like an open mic feel.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about this week because it's on Monday and
mm-hmm.
we're getting snow pretty much tomorrow until Tuesday.
Right.
So.
One thing about improvisers, though, and I think a lot of comedians, is if there's a stage, they'll be there. You'll get people on stage. It's like, will you get anybody walking through the door to watch the show? You can always have people who want to perform.
Yeah,
it's great. Like we had that pretty big storm last week.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Tuesday, Wednesday were the bad days. Tuesday was the worst day. I saw like all these posts on like the IB board, like, hey, are they open? Like, what's going on tonight?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
Just stay in.
Yeah. It'd be healthier to just stay in for a night and be a person.
Yeah. I mean, there were still shows like out at the right, and everybody still showed up.
Yeah.
So people will go out.
People will come.
Yeah.
Those are
dreams.
Yeah. Totally.
So, I'm sorry, we're kind of. Derailed your story.
Okay. It wasn't
Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, that's my story isn't even that interesting.
So you were always into comedy, kind of lacking the confidence, you said?
Yeah, I was just a huge fan of comedy, and I just loved it so much. I remember listening to Maria Bamford in the car with my friend, and I was just like blown away by something I've never heard before, and somebody with a totally unique perspective. And then on like the improv side, well, this isn't really improv, but I love the show Strangers with Candy with Amy Sedaris.
Yeah.
And I remember I had just never seen anybody like that before who just took such risks and
right.
created this character that I don't even know how it got on TV because it was totally on PC. And it was just so funny. And I remember really admiring someone who, you know, would dress up like covered in sores with like terrible wigs, terrible teeth, and I was like, oh, I want to do that one day.
Do you still want to pursue acting or being on screen?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really doing anything to make that happen. I love performing and I love writing and I need training. I feel like I'm not like ready for anything that's...
I feel like a lot of those shows that come on, like The Birthday Boys, or any
mm-hmm.
show that starts with, like, basically improv, like, I don't think those guys have screen time behind them. They just... Somebody saw them and, like, these guys are funny, and I think if you put a camera on them, they'll still be funny, and they'll
yeah.
still create content.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think necessarily... As long as you're doing comedy and
mm-hmm.
doing it well... and get some eyes on you. Mm-hmm. I think that's really all you need to do these days to get to be a comedian on TV, not necessarily like a Meryl Streep.
I want to be the Meryl Streep of comedy, but covered in sores with lots of waves.
Like, I think it used to, I feel like it used to be like, stand-ups would get shows, or just actors would be in comedy shows, like straight-up actors,
mm-hmm.
like Alan Thick, or was, you know, Growing Pains. But now those roles are going, like a lot of the, especially the minor roles of just like the buddies and stuff, are going to people that are in improv. Or I was watching some show last night and Paul Scheer was on it, you know, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go, so when you were wanting to get into comedy, were you drawn to stand-up or were you drawn to improv or both equally, would you say?
I was drawn to improv first because I never thought I could do stand-up. I never thought I could write a joke. But I thought I could try to get up in front of people and work with other people to create something that was funny. So that's what I started to do. And a lot of people say that you should focus on one or the other, which is something I've always struggled with. Because you don't want to be, like, bad at both when you could be kind of good at one. But
right.
I'm just going to double down on mediocrity, maybe. I love improv because there's nothing like that live theater experience, and you can become any character that you want, and you can build any relationship that if you're into like straight up acting, you don't have to worry. You have to worry about fitting into a type, or is this what they're looking for? But with improv, you can be anybody and do anything. And I think that freedom is really amazing. And that's why I love doing improv.
Yeah.
And stand-up, I love writing jokes, and I love performing them. And, yeah, I think there's a lot to be gained from trying both, at least.
Yeah,
if you like it.
And I think if you're funny, you're funny. And you can make a translate into both without sacrificing one or the
mm-hmm.
other. Yeah. So, when did you start performing improv? Or what did you do first, actually? Like, what's the first time you took a stage, I guess, would be the question.
Oh, the first time I took a stage, it was in a cage match, too.
Same cage match?
No, different. It was probably...
Because you're
head-to-head. Yeah, that would have funny. Maybe, like, late 2011 or 2012. And I think I'd just done, like, a student show for other students before then. And I mean, the show itself didn't go very well, but I think in my mind I thought it did because it was exciting to do. I mean, audience wise I don't know if people were laughing, but
this is the cage match.
Yeah, I mean, because that's important for new student teams to get out there, and that's
yeah.
how I started. That's how everybody starts.
I just
it can be rough, but it's worth it.
I took a level one at IB recently, and I might go to I'm debating whether to keep going. I'd like to, but it's expensive. I've gone through this training center here. Maybe it'd be just something I do every 6 months. I'll take another level.
Mm-hmm.
But I met some really cool people that are just starting out in the improv, and we've been practicing like at MIT, and I've been trying to get them to just do a show, like one of these indie shows.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like, people want to be ready, and they want to feel confident, which I understand, but I think a lot of it is just get out there. Once you get your first one under your belt, you'll feel a lot better.
Yeah. You just show up, and you try your best, and you keep doing it. That's the thing. I mean, you can't build up every show like it's the most important show.
If I knew now that it doesn't matter if you have a bad show at an indie night, in the long run, it really makes no difference.
It helps you get better.
Yeah.
I think bombing helps you get better because it helps you take more risks.
Yeah, and
the more you go along, because you
and you know what to avoid.
Yeah,
that didn't work.
Right,
you have to like you just have to fail really hard because that's an important feeling too. I remember I wrote a sketch and I forgot all the lines to it in front of everybody, and that was like the most terrifying moment. and it was awful. But then I remember thinking, okay, that was the worst thing that could happen. So if you feel what the worst is, then you're like, all right, well, I got through it. I'm still here. No one cares. Let's keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through a phase of, at those shows, actually, the Y shows, where for some reason, like, I would not do well time after time, and the nerves would, like, get the best of me, and my hands would clench, like, I couldn't open them. So I would do a lot of scenes with the fists.
whoa.
And you just kind of get through those, and you know it's not going to be as bad as that over time. And you do just get better. I mean, that will happen naturally. But I feel like it's always good to have a terrible show close by just to remember how it is.
Yeah, I'm sure I could pull one of those off every once in a while. Don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So where you are now in your comedy career, how do you feel, and like where do you want to ultimately take it?
I always feel like I can be working harder and I can be getting better, and I think I just need to be a little bit easier on myself and not, you know, not let up on a high standard of what I expect, but also embrace the fact that not every show is going to be perfect. And every experience that I have in my life is going to make me a better comedian. I want to have a reason to be on stage and a reason to write jokes or a reason to do improv. I would love to one day be a show runner, to write my own show and direct it. I don't know. It's scary saying that out loud, because then it kind of makes it real. It's not like, and I am writing, but I'm not doing that thing where I'm like, I'm going for my dream, I'm moving. I want to create something in my own little world and then see if it's good and if people like it.
There's so many options out there for distribution, though. Now, you know, you can do a legit well-produced, like, YouTube series.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just as respectable these days as a show on NBC that nobody's watching, you know?
Yeah. What I think is really cool is I remember one time Ken Reed, who's so funny and, like, one of my stand-up mentors, I guess, he just said, like, find your own thing and just do that, and don't worry about what people say that's going to be negative. If you can find something unique to yourself and just work really hard,
Then
you find fulfillment in that, then you're doing the right thing. It doesn't have to be a big deal in the grand scheme of things. If it's a big deal to you, then that's what makes it important.
And then if you're doing what you want, you're acting like yourself,
mm-hmm.
those good qualities about you will shine through. And they'll, you know, as opposed to if you're just playing a character, you're just trying to get across, you know, what has been written for you. But if you're adding in those elements about yourself that people like, or not even intentionally doing it, but just through the writing process, those are going to come up. It's that's where you're going to stand out, you know, in my opinion, is those little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this? Movie game? It's called a made-up movie game. So I'm going to put my iPad on shuffle. Whatever the next song that plays, I'll give you the title, and you guys can just make up, as if you're watching a movie on Comcast, like a description of what this movie would be. Then we'll improvise a scene or two out of it. Make sense?
Yeah.
All
right, cool. So I'm going to hit shuffle. And it's not playing. Not sure if it's not playing, but it's cool like that. The rebirth of Slick. Oh, it just had a really long intro.
Oh.
This is kind of a weird title, but cool like that, I guess, is what I would
cool
work
like
with
that.
There.
Is cool it? Like that.
I'm sorry. Cool like that.
Like
that.
That.
Yeah.
Cool like that.
Anyway. So, that is the main character in this movie. His name is Dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a female. A female named Dad. Is this what we're supposed to be doing?
Yeah. A little more.
That's it.
So, Dat is a funky, fresh 15-year-old girl from, how about Blacksburg, Virginia?
Sure.
And she's different than everybody in her class, but in her mind, that makes her cool. And then a new kid in town just doesn't know what's going on at the school. And decides that he wants to be cool like that.
And his motivation is that since he's the new person, he wants to be accepted by somebody. So he's decided to get the acceptance of Dad.
Dad, yeah. They're a wacky team.
And then it turns into a buddy comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where
maybe,
school hijinks.
Maybe it starts off as like a TV movie,
mm-hmm.
like on Nickelodeon, if they still do that, like they did with like Xenon. Do you remember that?
You mean Xena?
No, I don't mean Xena.
Oh, okay.
Like Xenon. And then the characters are so lovable that they pick it up for like a series of cool like that.
Cool like that.
All right, kids. Students. Settle down. Dat, please take off your sunglasses. You're in school.
It's who I am. I don't care about school. Plus, the sun's in my eyes.
Yeah, mine too.
Wait, who are you?
I'm Barf.
Barf?
I'm new to this school.
Let me see your papers. Everything checks out here. Don't learn anything from this one. She'll lead you down the wrong alley.
The wrong alley is where I want to be.
See, Teach, no matter what you say, I think I'm pretty cool. Sure, the kids just threw a banana legit at my face and it exploded on my face and it was pretty embarrassing. I don't really care.
Because she likes bananas.
I like bananas. They're delicious.
It's her favorite food and mine too.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot in common. I probably shouldn't sit you next to each other. It seems like it's going to be trouble.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah, trouble's our middle name.
You guys, what are you guys doing with those lighters? Stop lighting your books on fire. Put those out.
Dad, I just want to protest the way this American history book is lame. Woo!
Yeah, American history is so uncool.
Yeah.
You know what is cool?
What?
Canadian history.
Oh, man. I was going to say all shit, but then I thought it'd get expelled.
Yeah, you would. And you just said it after you...
Oh, I thought that was in my head. Barf. Shit.
Guys, we have class. We have class here. Are you guys done with the preamble?
I'm never done. I was born ready to be cool.
Me too. Because I'm cool like that.
Ah...
Recess is awesome, man. Oh, no, there's Dad.
Hey, give me that Dunkaroos. I'm hungry.
You're by yourself. Why would we ever give you anything?
Because I'm cool.
Yeah, you are kind of cool.
Yeah,
right.
Look at my hair. It's purple. You ever seen purple hair before?
No, you're threatening me. Here, just take the Dunkaroos.
Thanks. They're my favorite flavor. Wow, that's really a good Dunkaroo. Thank you. I appreciate it.
How come you're sharing with that guy?
Oh, this is Barf. He's my boy.
Whoa, your name is Barf?
Yeah, I'm new here.
That's a cool name, man.
He likes baseballs.
What are you doing hanging around with this loser?
Hey, this loser's my best friend.
Oh.
We hang out at the mall sometimes, just the two of us.
That is cool.
We throw, like, Slurpees. We put them on, like, the second floor, and then we hit them. And then they tumble down and they hit people.
Hey, I was at the mall last weekend and that happened to me.
Ooh, what a coincidence.
It was blue cherry.
Delicious.
It's my favorite flavor.
Then I had to get my class picture taken at the mall class picture taking place. And my mom was so upset that my white suit had blue cherry icy all over it. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's what you get when you step onto our domain,
yeah.
Which is the mall.
Here, just take my Lunchables, too.
I love Lunchables.
Me too. I like that little fake cheese in there.
I get dibs on the bologna rounds.
I get dibs on the crackers.
Hey guys, it's me, the president. I need somebody to infiltrate this gang of
young punks. And you guys seem like cool enough to do it.
We're pretty cool.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Oh, you're
like,
cool by association.
I'm like,
you're both cool guys. That's why I sent that helicopter for you.
I knew it. I knew we'd be validated one day. Didn't I tell you, Barf?
You did. I never believed you.
So what I need you to do is get in cool with the gang leader, then slit his throat and bury him somewhere.
Wow, that's pretty mean.
Murder.
What if we just incorporate him into our gang and then make him cool like us?
You think you can do that?
We can make anybody cool.
Yeah.
We're basically experts on cool.
My approval rating just went up 100%.
Oh, it's because you hang out with us.
Yeah.
It's seen. Cool like that.
Like I said, we're still getting better.
Sell the show.
So, what do you guys have coming up that you'd like to promote?
Let's see. Well, Aeropuerto is at the Hartford Improv Festival at the end of March.
Cool.
And we're going to Chicago for the Chicago Improv Festival.
Yeah, that's right. That's
in really cool. April.
Strangelove. Strangelove is a Herald team at IB. They have a show next Wednesday at IB.
Nice.
At 9:30.
Awesome.
And it's basically every other Wednesday after that.
Cool. Have you done... Is this your first run on a Herald team?
Second run.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a good team. It's a fun team.
Awesome. Do you have any stand-up gigs coming up?
I do. I'm at the stand-up break-in at the Riot Theater on the 19th of February, I think. And then Old School Game Show is on February 28th, and that's at 9:30 at the Dave Square Theater. And it's a lot of fun, so everybody should go. I meant to say go, but I said come. So it came out as go. Everybody should go. You heard it.
You heard it here first, people.
Here.
It's gonna catch on like fetch.
Like cool like that.
All right, and when was the improvised game show again? Is it the last Saturday of every month?
The Old School Game Show?
Old School Game Show.
Yeah, it's on the last Saturday of every month. And then actually in March, it's on Sunday. So it's, March 28th. And March's theme is wrestling, and we'll have the Boston League of Women Wrestlers appearing in the show. So that's going to be pretty awesome.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Amit. Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Bye. Thanks, Scott.